The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today my message is, the essence of my message regarding Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. Overview of the broadcast. I've written many articles relating to Yeshua, incorrectly called Jesus. See the Yahushua page and child pages on the website. This broadcast seeks to distill the essence of my message. We start by looking at the essence of my message concerning Yeshua. We know that his name is Yeshua and not Jesus, and that he is the most powerful created being because of his sinless life and death, and that he was the first spirit created, and that he was born of a virgin and filled with the spirit of Yah. We note that his death was carefully planned and orchestrated. He also spent time in India, Tibet, and Persia in his younger years, and that he was a Hebrew and a Jew, and an Old Testament emissary and spokesman, that's apostle or prophet. I share about a painting of Yeshua, the accuracy of which has been confirmed by someone who's been to heaven. We look at solid evidence of the reality of Yeshua, and note that Christ refers to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, and that we should thank Yah that the Jews killed Jesus. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room. And I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word, for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There's a number of podcast sites which have all the back issues. So the first part of my message today, article written 2021-04-05, the essence of my message concerning Yeshua, not Jesus. I've written many articles relating to Yeshua, incorrectly called Jesus. This article seeks to distill the essence of my message. See the webpage Yehoshua and the child pages for detailed discussion. The key points are just presented here. Folks, the whole thing about the name of Yeshua, Jesus, there's so much lack of insight into the names in the Bible and the incorrect translations that are in virtually all versions of the Bible. Jesus is derived from the Greek Iesus. It's a Greek name. The man in question was a Hebrew, a Jew. Jesus is not a Hebrew or Jewish name. There's no ways that his name was Jesus. It was Yahushua, and there's a whole body of writings about that on the website. So just to step through this, Yeshua is the correct name, not Jesus. His name was and is Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. See the web page, Creator's Name, Yah Eternally Self-Existing, and the child pages to that. Yeshua was a common Hebrew name. It's translated Joshua in the so-called Old Testament. Jesus is a blasphemous Greek name that means blessed of Zeus. Zeus is a pagan, that is, satanic god, and it is an insult to call Yeshua Jesus. See the webpage, Yeshua, not Jesus. Yah extended grace for the use of Jesus up to 2003. This was withdrawn at that point, and there's now a curse associated with the name and a demonic mastermind. Folks, going back around about 500, 600 years ago, when the Bible was first translated into English, there was a lot of persecution, a lot of ignorance. People did the best they could with what they had, and they made compromises. It was difficult to go away from traditional English names and go with truly Hebrew names at the risk of further persecution. So Father permitted the use of the names in widespread use at that time. But today he expects us to use the true names. We've got the internet. There's absolutely no excuse for saying that his name is Jesus when his name is Yahushua. And so I encourage you to start using that. He really doesn't like that name, just by the way. Secondly, Yahushua is the most powerful created being because of his sinless life and death. Yahushua is the most powerful created being in the universe, because he lived his entire life on earth and died without sin and he was therefore instantly resurrected. He was the only human being to ever live their entire life without sinning, even when he died a terrible death. As a consequence, Yeshua is first of all seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for us to make his enemies his footstool. Yeshua will only return at the end of the millennium, around May 3003, in other words, about 981 years from now, if there is at least one human being in right standing and free of sin to call for his return, and if at least at some level the forces of darkness have been defeated. Folks, it's so important to understand this. There's a whole widespread body of people who are saying Jesus is coming soon, and this is based on, I think it's Revelation verses 20, which says that they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But the word there translated Christ is they will live with the anointing of the Spirit of Yah for 1,000 years. So we, you and I, have to be filled with the Spirit of Yah, the Holy Spirit, you may know him, the set apart Spirit more correctly, and reign over the forces of darkness. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be released from the pit. If there is somebody in right standing with Father, they will call for Yeshua to return. If there is no one in right standing with Father, Satan will claim the victory, and Father will withdraw any believers that are left on earth, and everything on earth will die. Secondly, Yeshua is King of all human kings and Lord of all human lords. Yah is King of Yeshua and Lord of Yeshua. Yeshua gives us authority over the satanic and demonic realm, but we must exercise that authority in his name. Yeshua is our advocate, who pleads for mercy for believers, particularly young believers, in the court of heaven. The satanic and demonic realm are the prosecutors. Father Yah is the judge. Yeshua is our high priest, who intercedes on our behalf with Father. These are three very important attributes of Yeshua, and they all come from the way he died, the way he lived his life, the way he died. It's important to understand about Yeshua that there's nothing magical about his powers and his position. It was earned by living a life free of sin, and then by the way that he died, the way that he was beaten, tormented, tortured, lashed, nailed to the stake, died of a broken heart, without sinning. So he was awarded the highest possible rank in heaven, on the throne at the right hand of the Father. And all the rest of this flows from that. There's an article on the website, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, which goes in detail into how Yeshua gained his authority. The next point, Yeshua's body and blood provided the atoning sacrifice for our sin if we confess and repent and take the bread and wine as he instructed. You may know that as communion or the sacraments. Yeshua has a spectacularly glorious resurrected body and is massively powerful. He can manifest in human form and also in the glorious form that goes with his position with Yah. He's able to engage in multiple conversations simultaneously. He can watch multiple situations simultaneously. And he can manifest in multiple locations with multiple people simultaneously. He has other powers. It's important to realize that his blood fell on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, hidden away in a cave underneath the execution site. By Jeremiah, who about 565 years ago, I think it was, before Yeshua's death, when the Babylonians were about to overrun Jerusalem and destroy the temple. So when Yeshua prayed or said to his followers the night before he died, "This is my blood shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sin. Do this as oft as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." He was paving the way. Yehuchanan, John, had already said that he was the Lamb of Yah. He then introduced the bread and the wine as a proxy for his body and blood. He then died. His blood fell on the mercy seat. And he provided, by doing that, an offering for atonement of sin, which endured forever because he died without sin and was therefore able to do that. So there's a lot of legalities around his death in terms of the powers, etc., that he has, and it's important to realize that. Yeshua was the first spirit that was created. When the Almighty started his creation project, his first act was to create a spirit being to assist him. That spirit being eventually became the man we know as Yeshua. He served alongside the Father in an executive, as in chief operating officer position, assisting with the creative process throughout the creation. He was therefore highly knowledgeable of Satan's ways when he came to earth. So he was well equipped to resist Satan and to, in a sense, defeat Satan by not sinning. He was also very clearly aware, before he came to earth, as to where he would die on a stake over the execution, over the Ark of the Covenant in the cave, and the manner of his death, and what would precede it. So he came to earth with absolutely no illusions that he was going to die a terrible death in a very specific way, and that he was prepared to do that. He was prepared to live without sin. He was prepared to provoke the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes so that they would combine forces to have him put to death. And then he died in exactly the way that he expected to die. Yeshua was born of a virgin. He was born of a pure, as in free of sin, virgin, by a creative miracle within an ovum in the fallopian tubes of Miriam or Mary, and he was therefore free of bloodline curses and demons. Note that Yeshua is a created being. He is not divine. There is no Trinity. He is not Yah in the flesh, and Yah did not have sex with Miriam. There's a lot of wrong thinking about the virgin birth. What happened was that the Spirit of Yah came on Mary and fertilized an ovum in her fallopian tubes. That's all. Creative miracle. Less of a miracle than the creation of Adam and Lilith from the dust of the earth, less of a miracle than the creation of Chava, Eve, from the rib of Adam. So don't get all excited about the miracle of Yeshua's birth, and be very clear that the passage in the beginning of Matthew and elsewhere that says that the Spirit of the Almighty overshadowed her does not mean that Yah had sex with Miriam. Yeshua is not, he is the son of Yah, just as you and I, as believers, are the son of Yah. We're created in the likeness of Yah. Yeshua is the son of Yah because of his being a human being through the creation of Adam, not because Yah somehow divinely fertilized the egg and Yah is somehow in Yeshua's DNA. It's just not that way. Then Yeshua was filled with the Spirit of Yah. When Yeshua was immersed by Yehuchanan, John, which means Yah has graced, Yeshua was filled with the set-apart Holy Spirit of the Almighty. It was the Almighty in and through Yeshua that performed miracles and prophesied, and not Yeshua. One of the key things that Yeshua said that so many people lose sight of is that because he was going to the Father, he would send the set-apart Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and that we would do greater work, the same and greater works than he did. The works that he did were done by the Spirit of Yah in and on him, not by the man himself. And that applies to us today. You can go out, if you have been filled with the Spirit of Yah, and you have the faith, and you have the anointing, and you've done the necessary fasting and prayer and what have you, you can go out and you can heal the sick, you can raise the dead, you can perform miracles, you can walk on water, and so on and so forth. It's entirely possible for you to do greater works than Yeshua did. It's entirely possible for you to do the works that Yeshua did. It's a matter of you getting your head right, stop thinking that this is Yeshua's stuff when it's available to each and every one of us who believes. Do the necessary fasting, do the necessary praying, spend time worshiping, get filled with his Spirit, and recognize that you can do what Yeshua did and even greater works, and then go out and do it. Yeshua's death was carefully planned and orchestrated. Yeshua's death on a stake at the hill Golgotha, Skull Hill, outside Jerusalem, was planned over 1,000 years earlier by Yah and Yeshua, and was carefully orchestrated so that his blood fell on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. So Yeshua came to earth knowing exactly how, where, and when he was to die. He then spent 3.5 years provoking and antagonizing the high priests, scribes, and Pharisees to come to a point where they would call for his death. See the webpage, The Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death, for a detailed discussion. Folks, unless you understand this, you're not really going to understand a lot about the life of Yeshua. He went out of his way to break the human laws, not the laws of Yah, but the human laws of the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes, etc. He got up their noses. He offended them. He annoyed them. He overturned the tables of the money changers. He spoke against the commerce in the temple court. He really upset them and angered them until they eventually got to the point, this man has to go, this man has to die, we are going to hand him over to the Romans and demand that they execute him. And so he very, very consciously upset them in order to get them to do what he wanted them and what Yah wanted them to do. It's important to understand that if you're a believer today, you are not required to go out and offend and upset unbelievers. That is a specific mission that Yeshua was on. It's not something for you to do today. Then Yeshua spent time in India, Tibet, and Persia. At the age of 14 or thereabouts, Yeshua left Israel and traveled to India, Tibet, and Persia, where he taught and was taught. Specifically, he learned spiritual principles that had been lost in Israel. See the video on the webpage, Important Videos to Watch, towards the bottom of the list. So Yeshua debated with the priests in the temple when he was 14. And after that, he left Israel. And he only returned to Israel at about the time that he was about 30, or just before 30. That's why in the Protestant Bible, you find a big gap in the Gospels between the time that he taught or debated in the temple and the time that he suddenly shows up. And I think the first thing was the miracle of the wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And so he went to these other countries and he taught them and they taught him. He learned certain spiritual techniques like walking on water, etc., which were still known, for example, in India, Tibet. And he came back and he had those skills and those gifts which were unknown in Israel at that time. So it's important to understand that when the wise men came bringing gifts after the birth of Yeshua, they came from India or Tibet or Persia, somewhere in the East, or even from China. The thing to understand is that there were believers all over the world at that time, in all sorts of nations, in all sorts of countries, because of the Babylonian exile and so forth. Then Yeshua was a Hebrew and a Jew and an Old Testament emissary and spokesman or apostle and prophet. Yeshua was and is a Hebrew and a Jew. All that he carried out was under the covenant of Moshe, Moses, the so-called Old Covenant. The New Covenant through Yeshua only came into effect the moment Yeshua died and his blood fell on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Yeshua was therefore an Old Testament emissary and spokesman, apostle and prophet. I hope that this gives a clear understanding of who Yeshua is and what he accomplished. Folks, this is so important to understand. Yeshua did not die so that we could heal the sick and raise the dead and perform miracles and walk on water. That was available to us under the old covenant. The people had just forgotten it, lost it. But if you're filled with the Spirit of Yah, you can do those things. Heal the sick, raise the dead, walk on water, etc. And that's got nothing to do with the new covenant. The new covenant was a new way of doing war with the satanic and demonic realm, a new way of forgiveness for sin, and a new set of principles with regard to the set apart spirit, the Holy Spirit of Yah, and various other things. But it was not for people to do the things that Yeshua did. He did those things just simply because he was a spirit-filled believer. And it's so important to understand that, because it is totally available to you to do the same things. So I've got a bit of time left, and so I'm going to dip into a couple more articles off the website, which you might want to have a look at. So the next one is 2021-0601, Picture of Yeshua Seen by Colton Burpo Based on a Visit to Heaven. Some time ago, I watched the YouTube video, Heaven is for Real, interview with Todd and Colton Burpo, which reports a near-death experience in which Colton Burpo, at the age of 4, died and was taken to heaven and spent time with Yeshua before being returned to life. It's a powerful account. Subsequently, he saw a painting of Yeshua, which he recognized as exactly accurate of what he'd seen in heaven. The picture is on the website on the Picture of Yeshua page. It's vital to recognize that Yeshua is the greatest created being in the universe. He's not the creator in the flesh. It was the spirit of the creator in and on Yeshua that performed the miracles and spoke through Yeshua. So there's a whole story about the picture, and there's information about that also on the videos page on the website. But basically, young woman had a vision of Yeshua. She spent ages painting an accurate representation of what she'd seen. And then this chap, Colton, came along, saw the picture and said, that's exactly what Yeshua looks like. So Yeshua is what we would today call a European or man, similar to what you get in Israel and Arabia and the Middle East today, and of a sort of ruddy complexion. And it's an interesting photo. I suggest you go to the website and have a look at it. In another piece, 2022-0504, solid evidence of the reality of Yeshua, not Jesus. Some months ago, I found the article, "Is Jesus Historical? What Do the Romans Say About Him?" on YouTube. It provides a very solid analysis of ancient Roman unbeliever texts, which validate the existence of Yeshua and the early days of Christianity. It quotes a number of sources that are widely regarded in academic circles as authoritative to evidence that Yeshua, a wise man of Judea, really was put to death by the Romans and really did have followers. Folks, this is an interesting video. The video evidences that the label Christian goes back to a very early stage. It evidences that the era of worshipping Jesus also goes back to a very early stage. The presenter offers a convincing argument that Yeshua was born between 8 BC and 4 BC and most likely 6 BC and not 0 AD as generally believed, and that Yeshua was baptized by Yehuchanan John in 26 AD, and it is suggested that his age at the time was 32, not 30 as generally believed. It is further postulated that Yeshua was put to death before 37 AD. This is well worth watching. The link is on the webpage, Solid Evidence of the Reality of Yeshua, Jesus. There's a YouTube link there. I hope that this strengthens your certainty of the reality of Yeshua. Folks, this is a very different angle to everything else on the website, because this is going to a historically documented accounts in the accounts of unbelievers that evidence the existence of a man called Yahushua, Joshua, whatever you want to call him, in Israel at that time, who did miracles, was seen as a wise man, who was taken prisoner, beaten, and executed. So if you don't believe, if you've come to faith through a dramatic revelation from Father, that you've taken on board what's in the Bible and that you accept that Yeshua is real, then this is of general, sort of just general interest. But if you're not convinced that Yeshua is real, then I would encourage you to go to that webpage, Solid Evidence of the Reality of Yeshua, Jesus, and watch the video. I think it's about 40 or 50 minutes. And that'll certainly give you a lot to think about, because there's no question in my mind Yeshua is real. He was real. He did live about 2,000 years ago. And he died about 2,000 years ago. And I encourage you to go and watch this video, because a lot of what I've said today is not really going to make sense if you're not sure whether Yeshua exists or not. I then want to make the point that the name of Yeshua is not Christ. Christ refers to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, the Almighty, on a person. Christ is not an alternative name for Yeshua, Jesus, nor is it his last name. Christ is a technical term that is badly translated to substitute for the anointing of the Spirit of Yah on a person, or a person who is anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Thus, Jesus Christ is correctly Yahushua, anointed with the Spirit of Yah, or Yahushua, the anointed of Yah. Jesus Christ refers to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was on Yeshua. Christ may also refer at times to the anointed of Yah, referring to Yeshua. However, the usage of Christ is not restricted to Yeshua. It was applied in the generations before Yeshua, and it still applies today. It can be said of any anointed believer that they are Christ, if one wants to use that word, which should in fact be avoided. Effectively, Christ is a meaningless and blasphemous term, but I can legitimately call myself James Christ. If you're a spiritual believer, you can call yourself your name, Christ. Christ, Christos, Christou, Christoun, Greek words, all of which relate to the smearing of the Spirit of Yah on the body of a believer. And translated, so it comes from the word, the Hebrew word Messach, from which you get the Hebrew word Messiah, translated into Greek as Christos, Christou, Christoun, depending on context, and then translated into English as Christ. So there's about three or four different Greek words in different derivatives of Christos that are all translated Christ. And so the nuances are lost in the English. In another article, 2012-08-08, Yeshua was an Old Testament prophet, and I touched on this earlier. I continue to encounter great error in the way people understand Yeshua and what he accomplished and how he accomplished it. Major error relates to understanding of who and what Yeshua was. Bearing in mind that I wrote a while ago that there is no such thing as Old Testament, Old and New Testaments, for the point of this article, let me make the point that Yeshua was an Old Testament prophet, spokesman of Yah. Moshe, Moses, referred to him as a prophet like me. Yeshua referred to himself as a prophet. He had not shed his blood yet, so there was no new covenant, and he had not been resurrected yet, so there was no supernatural resurrected king. He also stated that he had come to fulfill the Torah, the laws of Moshe, Moses, not change them. He said that not one jot or one tittle, the smallest Hebrew characters of the Torah, would pass away. So he walked in the same prophetic office as Noah, Moshe, Moses, David, etc. He was only able to do more than they were because he was born of a virgin and therefore free of inherited curses, and because as a spirit being, he'd lived with Yah from the beginning of creation and therefore knew fully what was going on and what he was letting himself in for. Therefore, Yeshua did not change anything. He came and explained things that had been lost and forgotten, clarified things and demonstrated to the people of his time what was possible if one was truly set apart, sanctified and serving Yah and filled with the Spirit of Yah. Folks, this is so, so important. You need to get clear who Yeshua was and is and who is not. If you only read the so-called New Testament, you'll make huge errors. The only way to understand Yeshua is to read from Genesis to Revelation as one continuous account of the interactions between man and Yah, the Creator. The same applies to my writings and other modern writings. They are all part of one continuum. It was the Spirit of Yah, not Yeshua, that performed the miracles, raised the dead, etc. It's time to cease deifying Yeshua and return to the truth that he was the prophet of Yah and operated in that authority. Because he lived a life without sin, he was granted to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he gained eternal life. You and I are capable of doing all that Yeshua did, with the exception that he was the firstborn from the dead and has become ruler of all. We must all submit to him as our head in a human sense. This does not mean that he has in some way become Yah or substitutes for Yah. Relate to Yeshua as a king in a human sense, period. Conclusion. There's considerable misunderstanding regarding Yeshua. He was an Old Testament prophet and therefore could not change anything. He could only fulfill what was written about him. So the key things are, he was born of a virgin. He was immersed in the Jordan. The Spirit of Yah came upon him. He lived a life without sin. He died a terrible death. The people, the priests laid their hands on him, transferred the sin of the people to him. As he died, his blood ran down the earthquake crack onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant and introduced a new covenant and a new sacrifice for forgiveness of sin. And because he had no sin, he went directly to heaven. Then I would like to suggest that we should thank Yah that the Jews killed Jesus. There are a significant number of people who use the fact that the Jews killed Jesus to justify hatred of the Jews. I once read a piece where somebody said, "They killed my God, therefore I have to kill them." Jew is simply a modern English variant of the word Yehudite, meaning a person of Yehuda, Judea, the name of the region in Israel, Israel, where Yahushua lived. It's also the name of a particular family or tribe, the tribe of Yehuda, Judah. Thus, Jesus, Yeshua, was also a Jew, or if you like correctly, Yeshua was also a Yehudite. It was necessary for the Yehudites to kill Yeshua in order that his blood came upon them, and for other prophetic acts to happen that allowed the Passover sacrifice of a lamb to be substituted by a man without sin, thereby gained authority and provided a way for us to serve Yah as individuals. If the Yehudites had not killed Yeshua, we would have a massive problem as believers today. In fact, the believers might well have been totally obliterated. We should therefore be thankful that the Yehudites killed Yeshua. It was, after all, Yah's plan with which Yeshua was in full accord. See the webpage Miracle of Yeshua's Jesus' Death for a detailed discussion. Folks, again, so much wrong thinking. He had to die. He was a Jew just like the people who killed him. They were, at that time, Yah's chosen people. A postscript. The biggest error crippling mature anointed believers, in fact, I would say it's the biggest error crippling believers in total. As a codicil to this article, please read The Biggest Error Crippling Mature Anointed Believers on the website. It's near the top of the menu. I want to stress, you are not a glove puppet. Yah is not going to take control of your life as so many people teach and believe. Yah created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness. Yah created you to exercise your intellect and ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for him to live your life for you. You will determine your destiny when you die. It is a function of what you choose to believe and choose to do and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly, and effectively to earn your living. Folks, this is something that's really become very real to me in the last 6-9 months. I was taken in very much by Prosperity Church teaching, if you tithe, give to Yah, he will make sure that you prosper. It doesn't work like that. He will give you wisdom to get wealth. You need to spend time in his presence. You need to spend time on your knees. You need to spend time worshiping. You need to ask him about any significant business decision. Don't just assume you're being led, because you're not just being led, because you're not a glove puppet. Say, Father, I've got this opportunity to take on this business deal. Should I do it or not? And if you can't hear his answer, then you need to do the hard yards to get to a place where you can hear his answer. You can ask for signs, ask him to open doors, ask him to close doors, etc. But you have to ask him for guidance. Don't just storm ahead. To close, I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is, again, so important. There's only one reason we exist, and that is to have a deep personal relationship with our Father in heaven. That's why he went to all the trouble of creating the universe, of creating the solar system, of creating planet Earth, of creating the plants and the animals, of creating the human beings. of giving us the ability to procreate. So if you are not in relationship with him, you're completely missing the point of why you're here on earth. He was lonely. That's why he created humans. He wanted to have millions of friends who would do things together with him. The tragedy is that nobody knows that, nobody's teaching it, and virtually nobody's doing it. My question to you is, what are you doing to get close to Father? And if you're not going all out to get close to Father, I encourage you to start doing that right now. Email me and I'll help you. On the main menu of the website, some key documents and a video, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians and also to Muslims, Jews, etc. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show, then podcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There's at least 4 podcast websites where you'll find the back issues of these broadcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list. That's James, J-A-M-E-S, at endtimeissueministries.org, one word, to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search and the article search are a bit down the right-hand sidebar. The keyword cloud is on the bottom of just about every web page. The table of contents is in the right-hand sidebar towards the bottom, and also there's a dedicated page for both the article keyword cloud and a dedicated page for the table of contents. The Google search is very flexible. You can locate articles everywhere. It's about 2,400 articles and over 1,000 web pages. A lot of information. Google search will help you there. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it doesn't matter who you are. Father wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter your race, whether you are African or European or Asian or Indian or whatever. It doesn't matter your age, whether you're young or old, whether you're rich or poor, whether you are educated or uneducated, whether you're fat or thin, tall or short, whether you've got blonde hair and blue eyes or black hair and brown eyes or anything in between. Father wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter whether you're Hindu or Christian or Catholic or Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or whatever. He wants you to become his friend. He will take you from wherever you are right now and help you to become his friend if you will turn to him and say, Father, I desire to become your friend. Please help me. And then write to me and I'll help you. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Father, I